Certainly a blessing to be here. Very thankful for the prayer that Brother Darrell offered up publicly on our behalf, and would ask for a continuation of your prayers for myself and for you and for each other. And first thing I want to do is wish everyone here a Merry Christmas or a Happy New Year, and I hope you had a Merry Christmas. I think Christmas has passed, and we've closed the book, honestly, on 2016. It is now history. The way that year played out, whether it was to your liking or disliking, or things fell into place that the way you wanted, that year is past, and it's now recorded in history. And it is my prayer that God will bless you with a very prosperous new year, a very happy new year. Matter of fact, I hope it's the best year that you ever had in your life. And you know, I think there's things that make years far better than maybe they have been in the past. And we want to look at some of that this morning, if God would bless. You know, when the new year comes around, so many of us have the idea that we're going to have some New Year's resolutions, which a resolution is merely a goal that you set for yourself going forward. It doesn't have to be at New Year's, but oftentimes this is a time of year that people decide that they're going to make a change in their life. They're going to do something different. And honestly, when people have resolutions, these goals are set by most of God's children, I believe, and I would say totally, to bring about a positive change in their life. I very doubtfully believe that anyone would pray and set a goal that would bring negative change and problems into their life. So, you know, when we go forward in life and we make a New Year's resolution, whatever it might be, I believe it's for the very purpose of bringing positive change to our life. If we were to decide that we needed to lose a certain amount of weight, for whatever be it the reason, it's generally a positive thing in many ways, not to mention for your health. We know that to be the truth. So if you decided you were going to do that or you were going to exercise, it would be to bring something better out of you going forward. But unfortunately, if you're like me, over the 58 years or nine, getting close to nine that I've lived, I there are many resolutions that I've made in my life that after a while, they just faded into the yonderville, you might say. They just started out with great intentions, began to do what I thought needed to be done, but it wasn't soon till the difficulty of doing that, for whatever be it the reason, was hard enough that I forsake that resolution or I give up that goal. It takes discipline. You know, when we enter into a new year, it brings forth the idea of new beginnings, a renewedness in many ways, maybe renewed hope people have. There's just something about the ability to start over and to see something come forth better in your life. You know, we can do that on the daily basis or a weekly basis or a monthly basis. I mean, have you ever said to yourself, I hope today is better than yesterday was, for whatever the reason that yesterday wasn't so good? Have you ever looked forward? You know, if nothing else, do we not want to ask the Lord to renew our hope? Hope is a tremendous thing in our lives. I don't think people understand what hope really is. It's an earnest expectation. Hope is a product of a positive attitude, not a negative. A negative attitude brings a person to have little hope, and sometimes it leads a person into despair, meaning they become in a state of hopelessness. So we know that if we really have the hope that the Bible talks about, it directs us in a positive way, means we have a positive attitude. And we hear much today in the world among preachers about having high self-esteem, having a positive attitude. You don't love yourself enough. Now, I believe the Bible tells us that men love theirself plenty. They nourish and cherish their own bodies. That's not a problem. But there are old Baptists, I've heard preached, that you shouldn't have a high self-esteem. But I'll argue with that point a little bit. When you begin to look at the value God places on you as a child of God, when He protects you and provides for you, and when He says that I see every sparrow that falls to the ground and that you're more valuable than many sparrows, I'm telling you right now, You ought to have a little bit of self-esteem. You ought to be lifted up a little bit, because the one that matters and being the God of heaven looks upon you as of great value. You are very valuable. You may not be valuable to anyone else. Hopefully you are to your children and to your husband or wife. But by the world standards, you may have no value. But in God's eyes, you are very valuable. Matter of fact, you were so valuable that he sent his only begotten son to take care of the sin debts that you had, so one day you will reside with him in eternity forever. Don't let anyone tell you that you're not valuable, because you are. And that ought to give you some self-esteem because of what God says about you and how God views you. Now, most of the world talks about having a high self-esteem out in the public and among men. But we're not to be concerned about what others think about us, or we're not to think more highly of ourselves than we do others. But I believe we are to have a positive attitude. I believe that will make a great difference in our life. You know, negative attitudes are part of our carnal nature. They really are. We sometimes go to that place in life and we pitch our tent. Have you ever seen anybody, or do you know anybody, that has pitched their tent in Negativeville, if you would? Where every time you ask them something, it's never any good. Matter of fact, this person has, you wouldn't think they ever had a good day. You know, we're creatures of habits. We really are. Good habits and bad habits. But it takes discipline to continue there. But if you ever meet someone like that, I think they wake up expecting the day to be bad. But I don't believe that is the perspective that God intended for you and I to have on this life. Not only were we blessed with eternal life, the gift of eternal life, you have the gift of life right now. This is part of the eternal life. You know, you're really never going to die. This body's going to decay away, but you're not going to die. You're going to rid yourself of sin, but it's a blessing to live right now. We were created from nothing, and we're going to be blessed to live and never die again, ever. Now, things are going to change as we go on, but the very life you're living today is a gift. Do you live it with a positive attitude or a negative attitude? Is everything bad? Have you ever talked to anyone that you wonder if they ever had a good day? Every time you talk to them, it's nothing but this is wrong and that is wrong. Matter of fact, they don't expect things to ever be right. Our carnal nature, with the help of Satan, directs us in that perspective all the time. I want to ask you for a minute when we think about Jesus Christ. Jesus came to this world for a purpose. He said, "For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me. Of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but raise it up again at the last day." I want us to think about that for a moment. Jesus didn't come to this world, take on a human body and human flesh, and then to his great surprise, he was killed by human beings or wicked men, nailed to a cross and crucified, and then his heavenly Father poured out the eternal wrath that belonged to you and I. This was not a great and grand surprise to our Lord. Did you know that? He knew what lied ahead before he ever came to this earth. And yet his perspective of what he was to gain was positive, was it not? He knew that he was going to suffer. He knew that he was going to go through some very difficult times. But you know what he did know? That everyone he died for will live with him in heaven forever. He knew that what he done, even though it was going to be painful, he was going to be crucified. He was going to go through all the wickedness that men could throw at him, and not to mention the wrath that God would have poured out upon you and I, had he not come, was poured out upon him. When he was nailed to that cross and when he died, and he rose from the grave for our justification. He knew what lied ahead. And I believe his attitude is positive, because he knew that one day each one of us and everyone that he died for are going to live in him, with him in paradise, and there's never going to be a day of death, and nothing's ever going to change again. Now, I believe that's the perspective that Christ would have us to have. I really do. He says in John 16 and 33, he says, "In this world ye shall have tribulation." We all have trials. You know, some people believe that they have far more trials than other folks do. They really believe that. You know, if it can happen, bad things can happen, it's going to happen to them. They're certain and sure of that. Matter of fact, I think sometimes God allows those things to happen because that's the attitude we have, and that's where we set up shop. That's where we pitched our tent. You know, the old saying is, misery loves company. But Satan has an arsenal of weapons that when we get into this mindset, that he uses against us. Discouragement being a great one of them. Attitude is everything. You know, it is my, I challenge you today and I encourage you. And this message, to be honest, is more for me than it is for you. You know, when you get around somebody that's positive minded, it's not that that person never had any conflict or trouble in their life. And I'll use for an example my wife, and I know she doesn't want me to do this, but I'm going to anyway. She's positive. She takes the high road about everything. She always has. And it's not because she's never had a problem, never had a bad day in her life. It's not because everything turns out roses for her. It's because she made a choice to take the high road. She looks at the good even in the bad. By human nature, most of us go the other way. I certainly did. You know, our carnal nature doesn't love God, doesn't want anything to do with God. It desires the things of this world. It has a sinful appetite. And it's eat up with a lot of negative. A lot of negativism, you might say. So, you know, part of being happy is a choice. It's an attitude. You know, I know that you've heard the old saying, someone needs an attitude adjustment. I certainly have. And I thank God for her and the example she's been in my life. It helps me a lot because I have a tendency to lean to the negative, to lean to the bad. You know, some people just love to dwell upon bad things. Some people don't call you unless they got bad news. You know, if you're looking for something negative, you just look around the corner. Turn on the news. You can feed yourself with negativism 24/7 all day long. They don't tell us about the good things of life. You would think if you listen to the news that there never had been a good thing in life happen. But I tell you what, Jesus Christ had a perspective that went far beyond the troubles and the trials that he was going to suffer in this life. In this life, you shall have tribulation. But Jesus said, be of good cheer. Be happy about it. He said, I've overcome the world. I've defeated sin. I've been victorious over sin and death. And because of that, you can overcome the trials or tribulations that you're going to have. He didn't say that they will be erased from your life. They wasn't erased from Christ's life, were they? I'm going to tell you what, he was beaten, he was bruised, and he was mangled. And you read Isaiah chapter 52, and you'll find out that he was not even able to be recognized. He was beaten so bad. No, his life was not easy. But what the perspective he had was that you and I would live with him forever in paradise because of what he accomplished. And we rest upon that truth, and we never will depart from it. But I believe because he overcome the world, he says you and I can overcome the afflictions or the trials that we're having in our life. And we have many of them. And we're going to look at this song because I believe there's a way. You might say, well, Brother Kenny, how can I do it? Everything's bad. My health's bad. I lost my job. I don't have any money. On and on. I mean, the list is tremendous. What do you have in your life? You know, this is the beginning of a new year. And if there's a goal you can set in your life to better your life, I think you ought to challenge yourself. I know I'm challenging myself to wake up every morning and say, this is the day which the Lord hath made. I'm going to rejoice in it and be glad. I know there's some obstacles out there. I know there's some valleys out there. There's some things that's going to be hard to get through today. None of us know what the day holds. We don't know if we'll be here tomorrow. But we do know there will be days next year. In 2017, today being the first day, there won't be good days. We don't know what lies ahead. But when we wake up in the morning and say, Lord, I thank you for the day you've given me. For the night's rest. You made this day and I'm alive to see it. I'm going to make the best of this day I possibly can. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. It's easy to wake up in the morning and say, Lord, what am I going to do? This is going to be another terrible day. I don't feel good. I got up, my bones ache. Whatever it is. I mean, it's very easy. We We become creatures of habit with this attitude. When we do, all of a sudden, we're looking for bad. We've pitched our tent over there, and that's where we live. And misery does love company. You know, I've known people that won't go around certain folks because they're so negative. And I can kind of understand that. Because it wears them down. You know, it's not the easiest thing. And I'm not telling you here that it is the easiest thing to be positive, because we are going to have afflictions and conflicts and challenges and all kinds of things that come our way during our journey here upon the earth. Some years will be more difficult than others. You know, when we mourn the loss of someone that we love, it doesn't go away fast. But by the grace of God, we go on. Every one of us have experienced those things in our life to some degree. But you're here today. There's coming a day that won't exist. We got to keep a perspective that goes beyond the trouble or the evil, as Jesus would say, of today. Of today. You know, I think about in Romans chapter 7 and verse 6, it says, "But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we serve in a newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter." Now, this is not really pertaining to my sermon, but I like the wording because I believe we have a difficulty between the new man and the old man. We need renewed in our spiritual life, and we need to put off the old man. The old man loves this world, loves the troubles and the difficulties. That's and Satan's there with an arsenal of weapons to help you along in that category. You know, there may be pleasure in sin for a season, but the Bible teaches, and we all know, it will never last. It's not lasting. It's not lasting. Let's go over to Romans chapter 15. A couple verses I want to read. Verse 4 says, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience," which is endurance, "and comfort," or consolation, "of the Scriptures might have hope." One of the greatest blessings that you and I have as a child of God is hope. We're told by Paul in Romans 8, "For we are saved by hope." That means you're delivered by the earnest expectation that you have time and time again in your life. Hope is not what delivered you to heaven. The blood of Christ did that. But the deliverances we see now often are from the hope or the earnest expectation that we have within us as a child of God. That there is going to be a better day. That we can look unto the Lord. You see, I believe that Scripture teaches us that if we're going to live with a positive attitude, our focus has to be on the Lord. When we wake up in the morning, "Lord, thank you for this day. Whatever happens, I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. You made it. You blessed me to live this day." We're told in the 144th Psalm, "Happy is that people whose God is the Lord." It didn't say, "Happy is that people who've made the world their God." It says, "whose God is the Lord," capital G. It's talking about our Father, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Being that portion in our life, I believe it's all about focus. We go to verse 13. It says, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace." I'm going to tell you, most people in the world, including many of God's children, believe that joy and peace can be found anywhere. But the Bible tells us that true inner joy, real joy in your heart and lasting peace, comes from God, from your focus upon the Lord. Now, the God of hope, He gives us the hope that we have. He does. He blesses us and strengthens us in that hope. Notice what it says. "Fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound," that you may be excessive with hope. That means when the afflictions or the tribulations of life come, your hope will deliver you from the problems then, or help to carry you on. It doesn't mean that you won't mourn again or that you won't cry, but that you won't set your house over there, raise your tent in that place, and live there forever. You know, we reflect back upon the year of 2016. I'm sure all of us had good days and some days that were not as good. But I believe the Bible tells us that after reflecting upon those things, we're to put them behind us. We're to move on. It's in the history book. We're to look at today and we're to look forward. We're to look at Jesus Christ. We're to look at God. He is to be our focus. If we're going to live with a positive attitude about the things that happen to us in our life, I believe it starts with focus upon God. And I believe that's where we need to be if we want to change our attitude in life. Because the world is full of problems and troubles at every turn. You know, we just went through an election. It was filled with them, and there was nothing but negative tune in all of that. But, you know, like I said, if you watch the news, which I don't, it's a rarity that I ever watch it, but I can tell you, you can get it now around the clock. A lot different it was 20 or 30 years ago. But it's filled with negative things. And I know people. I know God's children who watch that around the clock. Now, the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace and believing that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. The Spirit of God that dwells in you is the power in you to have a positive attitude, even in the midst of troubles or afflictions. Now, I'm going to take a little time, and I want to go through this song we sang this morning, and I believe it tells a lot about it. Count your blessings. It says, when upon life's billows you are tempted and tossed. It talks about your life being rocked like the waves of the ocean, and sometimes it certainly feels that way. Sometimes it seems like the good news just continues to pour in our lives, or the troubles come our way, and you know, then there are seasons in our life that we don't have as much trouble, and we have a more peaceful time. But it says, when you're tempted and tossed, when you're discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings. You know, one of the problems I have, there's some of the tremendous hymns wrote in our book, and I've been one in the course of my life, whether it's religious hymns or any other type of music, someone who listened more to the music and the sound of the music than I did the words. Even sometimes when I sing from our book, I don't soak in the words. There's some words with great teaching in our books, and this is one of those songs that are. Count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. You know, sometimes when we're in those days of being tossed to and fro by the trials and tribulations of life, have you ever stopped for a moment and just thought how much God has really blessed you? Did He bless you with good parents? For one thing, everyone sitting in this congregation was blessed to be born in the United States of America, and I'll assure you that's a blessing whether you acknowledge it or realize it or not. We've been blessed in so many ways that if we begin to write down those wonderful blessings, if you got good parents and good children and someone that loves you, you've got an enormous amount of blessings in your life. And those blessings, when we focus upon them and the God of heaven who give them to us, it should lighten the load of our troubles or when we're tossed. I didn't say it would make it easy, but I'm telling you, Christ, when He came to this earth to die for you and I, He didn't live a trouble-free life. Matter of fact, He said, you'll be hated. Men hate me and they'll hate you. And that's happening today. He was never accepted by His own. And then when He was crucified, He was beaten beyond recognition, nailed to a cross. So I know there was a lot of pain and agony there. He felt the pain no different than you and I had we been nailed to that cross. Yet His perspective was far beyond the cross to the day that you and I will live in heaven with Him forever and ever. We need to look beyond the trials that we have. We need to understand that there's a purpose in view. Count your blessings when you get caught up in this situation, when you're tossed to and fro. Name them one by one. I tell you, I believe it will surprise you, this song says, what the Lord hath done. Notice verse 2. Are you ever burdened with a load of care? Does the cross seem heavy, you're called to bear? You know, this verse really comes home to me. We all have a cross to bear, honestly. But you know, as one who is concerned about the care of the church and the Lord's people, and oftentimes it's a burden, and it's very easy to get discouraged. You know, you have attendance drop off, and you see the God's people being caught up in the entertainments of the world and that becoming more important to them than the Lord. And there are many things that will discourage you and be a burden to you in your life. I know they are in mine, and they can be to anyone that's trying to minister to God's people. It says again, count your many blessings and every doubt will fly. You know, we're still blessed regardless. We're blessed to be here today in a church where we didn't have to worry about being shot or put to death on our way here. I really haven't worried about coming in here and being beheaded. There are many things that we take for granted, that many blessings that we've received at the hand of Almighty God that we do take for granted. Think about those blessings. And, you know, God has a people. It's like Brother Stephen Bloyd said, you know, I think that's why God in this country maybe preserved a little bunch over here and a little bunch over there, because he's not through with his work in this nation. We've seen Christianity fall away in this country, but yet, and it's easy to get discouraged, but I believe the moral to this song is to focus on God and count the blessings you've had in the midst of the troubles that come our way, whatever they are. And it deals with a number of these here. Are you ever burdened with a load of care? Does the cross seem heavy you're called to bear? Count your many blessings, every doubt will fly, and you will be singing as the days go by. Haven't the days went by in a hurry? You know, another Christmas has passed, another year has begun, and it's just the rapidness of life is fastly or quickly passing us by, or it is with me. I know that every year that I get older, it seems to speed up. I don't know if that's because we're living in a world that we're so caught up in and we're so busy in, or it's just that maybe we're getting ready to go home ourselves. Maybe the closer we get to it, the more we anticipate it. We go to the third verse, and it says, when you look at others with their lands and gold, this is a problem that oftentimes we have. This is our carnal nature in many ways. It illustrates lands and goals, which, you know, one of the problems we have of our sin nature is to covet the things that others have. But it's not always the material things. Sometimes we covet someone else's happiness. Sometimes we covet their money, their lands, or whatever it is that they have that we don't feel like we have. When you look at others with their lands and gold, think that Christ has promised you his wealth untold. You know, there is a wealth in the Lord Jesus Christ that can never be compared. It is far more valuable than anything you will ever attain up on the earth. You know, sometimes we have problems. We wonder why that we're not having life as easy as the next person, why we hadn't been blessed to have what they have. And I don't have an answer to all those questions, but it's always been that way in life. God blesses some to have more than others. But the wealth we have in Christ, we can place no value on. It's more valuable than any gold or silver or lands that we could possibly obtain here in this life that are here today and gone tomorrow, things that you will never take with you. Think that Christ has promised you his wealth untold. Count your many blessings money cannot buy. If you have a wife or a husband that loves you sincerely, a mother or father that loves you with true love, if you have brothers and sisters in Christ that really love you, if you have friendships that you cherish, those are blessings that you cannot buy with any amount of money. There is no amount of money that will afford you such blessings. You have something that a lot of folks who have a lot of wealth do not have. Did you know that? There are a lot of wealthy people who do not have the close relationships. I'm not saying every one of them, but there's a number of them. Don't have the close relationships that folks that have a lot less. There are blessings that money cannot buy in this life that God has given us. Count your many blessings and see what the Lord's done. That you cannot buy, your reward in heaven, your home on high. Now, we know we can't buy eternal salvation. That was even asked in the Bible. What must I do that I might have eternal life? We can't buy it. We can't earn it. But friends, there's blessings that we receive right here in this life that can't be purchased. Our friendship with each other, our love for one another, you can't buy that. You can't purchase it. You can't go down to the store and put it in a basket and check out and have it. These are blessings that money can't buy, and they're untold, and they're special. And they won't just be here today. They'll be here now and from on into heaven. They'll never go away. And let's look at the last verse and we'll get to a closing point. It says, so amid the conflict, whether great or small, Jesus said you'll have troubles. You know, the Bible tells us that no matter what our conflict is, it's a light affliction. They don't seem very light sometimes. They seem like they're very heavy. They seem like they're things that we cannot bear and carry in our life. But whether they be light or whether they be heavy, you can be assured you're going to have afflictions. And when you look at someone over here that has the right attitude, don't believe for one minute that they went through life and never had a problem. That's our human nature. That's a tendency that we have in us to believe. To believe that it's always greener on the other side of the fence. It's not. Matter of fact, I know folks that have a great attitude that have had a tremendous amount of problems in their life, as much as anyone else that I know of. But their attitude is far different. See, positive attitude brings forth hope. Hope today, hope tomorrow, all the way into eternity. But the more negative we are, the more hopeless we become. And some folks go plumb to the state of depression or despair because they have pitched their tent there and lived there so long, it's become a way of life. You know, it takes discipline to set a goal and continue with that goal, whatever it is. Whether you decide you're going to be more faithful in your prayer life, reading your Bible, losing weight, exercising, it really doesn't matter. Whatever goal you set for yourself requires discipline. And once you've attained the goal through the act of discipline, it'll continue to take discipline to maintain the goal. It's never going to be easy. Because as long as we live on the earth, temptation's with us, is it not? It never goes away. I wish it did, but it doesn't. It's like going on a good diet and eating good and healthy. The temptation for some of the food that I've ate all my life never goes away. And food that I know that's not real healthy, it doesn't go away. The temptation of sin never goes away either. We have to have discipline to maintain that. If we're going to have a positive attitude, we need to get up in the morning and say, Lord, you've made this day. I'm alive. I'm breathing. I may not be the healthiest. I may not have everything exactly like I want it, but because you've blessed me to live in this day, I am going to rejoice and be glad in it. Because it's a day that you granted and blessed me to live in. I'm going to make you the focus of my life because that's where it all begins. The God of hope, the God of all hope, should be the focus of our life. So amid the conflict, whether great or small, do not be discouraged. God is over all. You know, sometimes we even get to the point of wondering, does God know what's going on? Does God care? Yes, he does. He suffers things to happen. Sometimes we don't have an answer or a understanding of why it is. But I can assure you today that God reigns and rules from his throne in glory. And there is none that can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? Friend, there's coming a day when he'll wrap this all up. We know that. And many men say, where is the promise of his coming? We're told that in 2 Peter. But I'll assure you what he promised, he's going to bring to pass. That day is coming. May not be in our lifetime, but it's coming. But I want to encourage you, and I want to challenge you to live this life with a positive attitude. Because your troubles are not going to go away. Bible tells us that. And we've lived long enough, most of us, to know that we have days or weeks or months that have been worse than months or days or weeks or years in the past. That's how life is. It's a life of storms, and they just continue to come. We continue to have them, just like we have natural storms in Mother Nature. They've continued all the days of my life, and I believe they'll continue till the Lord wraps this up. But the storms that you and I face from day to day in our natural lives and in our spiritual lives, they're going to continue to come too. I challenge you, and I encourage you to live life with a positive attitude because we're a blessed people beyond all measure. We really are. It says, count your many blessings, angels will attend. You know, God sends those to minister to us, and oftentimes they're our brother or sister sitting across the aisle. They really are. God knows how to use people to our benefit, his people, to lift us up, to encourage us, and we ought to encourage others. You might be an angel to someone who's down and out. Have a positive attitude. No, things may not be the way you'd like them. One day they will be. But I tell you, your life will be far better if you live with a positive outlook and not a negative. And this is something that I'm going to set a goal for myself this year to work on, because I've been easily taken the other way in my life. Sometimes I want to say, well, that's part of how the Venables are. But, you know, that's just a cop-out. You want to know the truth? It's a cop-out. We are all creatures of the environment in which we were raised in. That's the truth. God is not the author of sin. God didn't make us to be negative. But sometimes we live in an environment that is so negative, and we live there so long that becomes a way of life. And it's a challenge to turn that around, especially when you live in a world that is filled with negativity. At every turn, and you see, people love to talk about problems instead of good. Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing to turn on the news and hear one good and glorious story after the other? I think about a story, and I'm gonna mention this before I close this morning. Everybody knows that Chick-fil-A is a company that was founded upon God-fearing principles. I read an article last night, and it wasn't in Georgia. I believe it was in Tennessee. And this homeless man wandered into this Chick-fil-A, had a long beard. It was real ready, had long hair. And the manager approached us, and some of the folks that were watching expected the manager to get rid of this guy. But the first thing he done was he went over and he greeted him and laid his hands upon him, and everyone becomes silent in that place, and he prayed for him. The man asked if he had any scraps, any food that he could have. The manager of that place took that man in, put him in the front of the line, and gave him a hot meal. Now, he didn't have to do that. And there are many places in America they wouldn't do that. But that man had counted his blessings. He knew that God had blessed him, and he was willing to bless someone else that day. I hope and pray that when life is not going well for you, and you're going to have them times in your life. If you haven't had them, they're coming. And you may have had them, and likely there will be some more of them. We all deal with problems and conflicts and challenges, and you know, we're going to have health problems, all of us. If we live long enough, we're going to see accidents. You know, I don't know how many of us that are sitting here today will be sitting here this same date next year. I hope all of us, but it may not be the case. There's some folks we know out in the world will probably not be here that are here today. That's just the way life is. We have trials. We have conflicts. Sometimes they're heavy, sometimes they're not so heavy. But friends, one thing that will help you to keep a proper attitude in the midst of all these things is to count your many blessings, to name them one by one, to realize that no matter how bad things may have been in your life, you've been richly blessed. You know, I think about raising our children, and I know many of you here have grandchildren. Isn't that just some kind of blessing that you can't put money on? I mean, they're just we continue to have blessing after blessing that money can't buy. And I pray that God will bless us to use that for others. So I challenge you to, when you get down this coming year, to count your blessings. Think about all the good things that God has done for you. Think about how good things are going to be going forward. It'll make a difference in your life, and I think it'll make a difference in everyone's life that's around you. May God bless you. My prayer today, I pray that you've gotten something out of this message. It would be beneficial, and I pray that we will all go forward with a positive attitude, because Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, forgetting those things which are behind us, that we're depressed for the mark of the prize, the high calling of God, which is Christ Jesus. I believe the only way we can live this life with the conflicts and the afflictions and the troubles that we're going to face is to always be focused upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we lose our focus, then them negative attitudes creep in and the troubles begin to overtake us, because we're all going to have them.